Thank you, gentlemen. This week is a week of celebration. This Saturday, of course, is the 233rd birthday, if my math is correct, of our United States, commemorating a day 233 years ago that 13 British colonies in America declared their independence from England. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's the inscription on the Liberty Bell, which is still in Philadelphia. It's really an illegal quote because it's from the Bible. Leviticus 25:10. A Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. The tablet which the statue holds in her left hand reads in Roman numerals, July 4th, 1776, the day of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Here's a famous quote from somebody you might remember. He said in a speech in 1775 to the Virginia Convention, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me," you know that quote. Who said that? Patrick Henry. "Give me liberty or give me death." I would like at this time for us to stand together. Would you please stand? And I should have told you to get your hymn books first. Get your hymn books. Turn to 596. You probably know the words to the first verse, but I want us to sing both verses. Kayleen, if you don't mind, I'm springing this on her. Singing in a star-spangled banner as we face our flag, and as we sing not only the first verse, but the second verse. And if you would, place your right hand over your heart as we sing our nation's anthem, 596. Those of you who can sing the high notes, please rescue me. Please help. Okay, let's sing together.
Thank you.
Those 13 colonies were previously under England's power. Whatever England willed, they did. And Great Britain was oppressing those 13 colonies through taxation without representation. They were oppressing through restriction. They were oppressing through harassment. That is not really the way you're supposed to say it, but for our sake, it's harassment. This morning, I want us to see some parallels. Because there was a struggle for liberty. And it's a struggle that we have long forgotten. It is a struggle that we may be having to renew here pretty soon. A struggle for liberty. And it parallels the individual's struggle for liberty. Because every man who does not know the liberty that comes through Jesus Christ alone is oppressed by sin. Sin is restrictive. Sin restricts a man from living the way that God created man to be. Sin taxes man. Sin robs man of joy. Sin robs man of health. Sin robs man of peace and of love. Sin harasses through constant temptation. I mean, the parallels are numerous. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." And for a while, those 13 colonies yielded themselves to Great Britain as her servants. Folks, today slavery is alive and well. Some say that slavery ended in 1865. It did not. It only continues. Because man is a slave to sin. To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, that word servants is literally slaves, his slaves you are to whom you obey. Even as the colonies were slaves to England, the individual is a slave to sin. What we call habits are really life-dominating sins. The power of sin is much greater than the influence of some king over some peoples, because the power of sin can be broken only by the one who himself has gained the victory over it. 1 Peter 2:24 says this of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Did you know that true liberty is living unto righteousness? And that can only come through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, just declaring yourselves as independent is meaningless unless you break the dependence. Think back to 1776, July 4th. A declaration of independence. Did that mean that the colonies were at that moment independent? There had to be some action behind that, and that began the war. The war of independence. Just declaring yourself independent is meaningless unless you break the dependence. And as we well know today, the colonies defended that declaration with their lives and separation from their former tyrant. Go with me to Luke chapter 4, where we see a declaration of independence. Luke chapter 4. This is where Jesus is quoting the Old Testament passage that I read in your hearing this morning, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. It says in Luke 4, verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias," or Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I love that. Right now, Jesus was saying, this day, what I just read to you is being fulfilled in your ears. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61. And here in Luke chapter 4, in quoting Isaiah 61, he uses five words in his declaration of independence. And each word that he uses is followed by another word describing the person who is dependent. The first word he uses is gospel. Note that in verse 18, to preach the gospel. That phrase, to preach the gospel, is one word in the original. We get our word evangelize from that phrase, to preach the gospel. It literally means to announce good news. The good news is there is hope. Notice to whom it is preached. To preach the gospel to the poor. In Isaiah, he uses the word meek. Here there is hope for those who have no hope. There's a lot of talk about hope, or at least there was talk about hope a few months ago. That hope has been obliterated. But people's hope today is all in the wrong thing. Both the word poor and the word meek describe people who understand that they are spiritually destitute and are receptive. Somebody who recognizes himself as being spiritually poor, even as Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Notice he says to preach the good news to the poor. This wouldn't be good news to people who don't recognize themselves as poor. Jesus is preaching to tax collectors and sinners and the common folk. He is not preaching to the Pharisees who wouldn't admit their sickness, who wouldn't admit the fact that they need a physician, who would not admit that they were poor. If you're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must realize and you must recognize, you must acknowledge, I am poor. I have nothing with which to pay. I am poor. Look at this. Jesus came to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. If you recognize yourself this morning as a poor spiritual beggar, listen, there's good news for you. It is the good news that Jesus Christ came to proclaim. Those who realize that you are oppressed by sin, you are the poor, you must see the need for deliverance. It is to you that the good news is preached. A poor man can do nothing about his circumstances. It requires that somebody else help him in his poor circumstances. And Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He's the only one who's able to deliver. So there's that first word, gospel. I want you to see the second word. It's the word healing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Healing implies a wound. Healing implies that there is sickness. Jesus many times demonstrated that he had the power to heal spiritually by healing physically. That's why he went about healing people. It wasn't because he came to this world to provide physical health to people. That's the idea you'll get from some people who preach the social gospel, that our responsibility is to go about and to see and give money so the people are being healed physically. That is not why Jesus came. He came and did that as a demonstration of his power to heal spiritually. People who were lame, people who were sick, blind, dumb, deaf, were healed. Why? To demonstrate his power to heal spiritually. The influence of sin has the same effect upon man. It brings him into sickness spiritually. Only Christ can heal. Notice it says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He did not come to heal the lame. That wasn't his purpose in coming. He did that as a demonstration that he could heal the brokenhearted. This is one who grieves over his sin. I quoted Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning, heartbroken. I'm not talking about some love who left you or that your pet dog died. I'm not talking about that kind of a brokenheartedness. I'm talking about truly brokenhearted over your sin. You know what? The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto those who have a broken heart. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So we have the word gospel. We have the word healing. The third word I'd like you to see is the word deliverance. To preach deliverance to the captives. Isaiah 61:1 reads, opening of the prison to them that are bound. So the captives are those who are in prison. And deliverance has the idea of pardon, of release, to liberate. A deliverance that comes not because it is deserved, but because of the mercy of the one who provides the deliverance. It's grace. Captives describe those taken captive by spear, forced into captivity. POWs, prisoners of war. It describes our condition under sin. You know something? People think there's freedom in sin. They think there's freedom if you just do whatever you want. But Satan never gave the choice to be under his rule. If you're a slave to sin, you're in his prison. You go at his bidding. You think you're free to take your booze? You know what? That booze is going to require another drink. I mean, you name the sin. Sin is addictive. Sin is a life-dominating thing. You think you can look at it just one time? No, it's going to happen again and again and again. It's captivity. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. Choice comes through Jesus Christ. Refusing the work of Christ and his work of deliverance is to deliberately choose to stay a POW to sin. There's some who are captive to certain sins. They're POWs. What sin has you captive? By the way, it is possible for a Christian, one who has been delivered from Egypt, to desire to go back into Egypt and go back into that slavery again. What are some of those sins that have you captive? Some people, their captor is music. They say, well, the music that I listen to doesn't control me. I can leave it at my will. Okay, good. Leave it for a month. Go ahead. You know what? The people who are under the influence of rock music, they start having the shakes when they can't have their music. Why? Because it is captivating. It is sinful. How about TV? Are you captive to TV? No, I'm not captive. Okay, leave it for a month. Leave it for a year. Start having withdrawals, won't you? Well, you will find that you were more captive to it than you thought. There's deliverance. Some are POWs to overeating, to nicotine, to alcohol, to their thought life, to a temper. There was a man who was captive. Every day, he would do crazy things. They would chain him, and he would break those chains. He would run around naked. Till one day Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he came to the Gadara, and he met up with this maniac. And he healed him. And the demons that had possessed him, the sin of which he was under, those demons asked to go into a herd of swine. And they did. And the swine ran into the Sea of Galilee and were drowned. And there the peoples from that area came and they saw this man who was formerly a maniac sitting and in his right mind. There's only one person who can do that. And that's Jesus Christ. He was a captive who was delivered. I honestly believe that anybody who is under the influence of sin is a maniac. Oh, you may not act like a maniac in public, but the things you do in private and the thoughts that you have, you would think you're a maniac. So there's three words: gospel, healing, deliverance. The fourth word is the word sight. To preach recovering of sight to the blind. When you use that word recover, it speaks of a condition a person was once in. Man was once able to see spiritually, but all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And when we speak today of someone who is recovering from an illness, we mean that they are going back to the health they once experienced prior to the sickness. Man was created for fellowship with God. He was made to walk in the light as he is in the light. Salvation through Jesus Christ is being restored to the condition that man had before he chose darkness. To preach recovering of sight to the blind. Salvation is to be restored. John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Somebody who is blind, and that speaks of darkness, says two things. There's two things to be said about a man who was blind. Number one, the condition of blindness. There's many instances in the Bible where Jesus heals physical blindness, and it speaks of his ability and his desire to deal with spiritual blindness. In the ancient world, there was no cure for blindness. And a sinner must see himself this way. There's no cure. There's no cure. I cannot cure this blindness, this spiritual blindness. I can't see. He's hopeless. There's the condition of blindness. There's also the cause of blindness. Why is it that we see what is happening in our world today and we go, how can these people do this? Are they so blind? Well, here's the reason, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who has blinded the minds of people today? It is Satan. That's the cause of blindness. So you've got these words, you've got gospel, you've got healing, deliverance, sight, and the last word we see is the word liberty. There in Luke 4:18, the last part of the verse says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Here, Jesus seems to quote Isaiah 58:6 when it says to let the oppressed go free. That word bruised means broken into pieces. Man, what a picture of the effects of sin. Bruised and broken bodies, transmitted diseases, alcoholism, broken families, broken hearts. Jesus was anointed of God to set people like that at liberty. Have you ever heard of the conversion of drunkards, alcoholics? You ever heard of Mel Trotter? A man who was in the gutter with drunkenness and how God reached down and saved him? And the man became a great preacher. You ever heard of Billy Sunday, a man who was a drunk? And how God saved him? To set at liberty them that are bruised, broken. Jesus was anointed of God to set such at liberty. You may still have the scars from that brokenness, but you don't have the guilt if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a difference liberty in Christ makes. It makes a big difference. Stephen Ambrose, in a book called Citizen Soldiers, he wrote in 1997, was interviewing former GIs from World War II. He said in his book that many Americans that he interviewed mentioned how numerous were the dud shells fired by the Germans. The Germans would fire a shell and it would land beside them and it would be a dud. Many Americans talked about it. One said after one shelling, quote, "I counted 8 duds sticking in the ground within 30 yards of my foxhole." This is when he interviewed the Americans. So Stephen Ambrose went to Germany and he interviewed the Germans. And the Germans never talked of one American dud shell. What was the difference? Here's the observation that Ambrose made in his book on page 66. Quote, "The shells fired by the GIs were made by free American labor. The shells fired by the Germans were made by slave labor." After writing the book, Ambrose got a letter from a man who read it. This man said he was a Jewish slave laborer in a German factory making shells. Here's what he said. He said when his German superiors weren't looking, he would mix sand with sulfur and make the explosive inoperable. And then he'd mess up the trigger mechanism. You see the difference between those who are under liberty and those who are under tyranny? What a difference liberty makes. Liberty, independence, comes to him who recognizes that he is enslaved. It is easy to get back into the condition of enslavement because it happens so gradually. And we see it happening today. Many of us are wide open to it. We see it happening. It is easy to go back into dependence upon a government or upon a person rather than being independent. But even when our nation declared its independence, they recognized, our forefathers did, that we must still depend upon someone. And time and again, they made reference to God Almighty. A truly free people are those who understand what it is to lose that freedom. There may be someone here this morning who has entangled himself again in sin. You can't lose your salvation, but boy, you can lose your victory. You can lose that fellowship. Galatians 5:1 exhorts us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So even for the believer, it is possible for you to go back into the yoke of bondage, not and lose your salvation, but to lose the victory, to lose the freedom, thinking that by getting involved in that sin again, that somehow I'm going to have liberty again. Even as the children of Israel thought that by going back into Egypt, they would somehow have all this food all over again, and they would be free. Others perhaps have never experienced freedom from sin, death, and hell. That comes only through Jesus Christ. And you say, I may be preaching to the choir. No, I preach each time thinking there may be somebody who thinks he's saved, but he's really not. To you, I ask you this. Will you take Jesus Christ at his promise, who said this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom comes only through Jesus Christ. Verse 19 here of Luke chapter 4. Refers to a time when God, in his own good pleasure, revealed salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. When it says, to preach the acceptable, or that is the favorable, year of the Lord. The message this morning is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Accept the salvation found in Jesus Christ and accept it now. because this is the favorable year of the Lord. The place in the passage where Jesus read. And then we read verses 20 and 21 that he closed the book. And he didn't finish what was written in Isaiah 61, 2. You see, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Right now is the first advent, the first coming. It is, we are still under grace. But the remainder of that verse in Isaiah 61, verse 2 says this, the part Jesus did not read, and the day of vengeance of our God. That day, folks, is coming for those who delay. That day is coming for those who refuse to accept his salvation today. That is the day of the Lord. That is when he returns. That is the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day is soon to come. You can declare your independence from sin today by placing your dependence in Jesus Christ and by accepting his work of deliverance on the cross. You can experience freedom today from the sin that you are enslaved to, but only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus preaches here the declaration of independence. Independent from sin, dependence on Jesus Christ. Let's pray.